Welcome to Book Spectrum. I'm your host, Chris Cordani. This is where we talk with both seasoned writers and new authors from varied professions across the spectrum. Have you ever been told you needed surgery but were not 100% sure and wanted a second opinion? Or felt some pressure to have that surgery anyway? What do you do when your doctor recommends surgery to you or a loved one? Do you question their decision? The answer for the vast majority of Americans is no. Many of us have been trained to trust our physicians completely. After all, hey, they're the experts. They should know best. Still, my guest on Book Spectrum is a noted surgeon by trade, whose research indicated that somewhere between 10 and 20% of all surgeries are unnecessary. Why is this? How did this happen? And how can we make better informed decisions on our health? Dr. Sanjay Prasad is here with me, and he says he can help. His wisdom is in this new book, Resetting Healthcare Post-COVID-19 Pandemic. Welcome to Book Spectrum, Dr. Prasad.
Thank you, Chris. A pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
It's great to have you here. And let's give our listeners a bit of background on you. You've been in medicine for over 3 decades. You know of which you speak. You've seen quite a bit.
Yeah, I've been in practice for 30 years and seen tens of thousands of patients and just wanted to desperately fix the healthcare system so it works for patients.
I understand your family's story was one of the major inspirations for you to write this book, Dr. Prasad. What happened which made you take this information to the public?
Well, I was born in India, and my parents had the opportunity to visit and stay in the United States for a few years, and we had a healthcare issue in the family, and that prompted my father really to make the journey, and we came by ship. A 30-day journey through the Suez Canal, and really, we were searching for better healthcare, better expertise, and searching for the right expertise for a problem we had in the family. And so, how ironic it is that I grew up in this country. I came here at the age of one. I grew up to be a surgeon, the first to go to medical school in our family, And here I am, I'm trying to help patients now, Americans, find their best surgeon for their condition. It's just an unbelievable story for me.
Well, it's a good thing because pairing up with the good surgeon is always something we're trying to look for. Many of us scramble on the internet when we find out we have a problem to find surgeons right or left or hope our own doctor can give us one or two names. A lot of times those guys are kind of booked up though.
Yeah, what's happening today, Chris, is and this is prior to the pandemic, you know, patients trust their primary care physician. They have a condition, they go see them, they get referred to a surgeon. But unfortunately, that referral is not being made on the basis of cost, whether the patient's in network, not in network, or on the basis of quality. And by that, I mean, you know, what are the surgeon's outcomes related to that procedure that the patient's about to have? And so the result is that patients are pigeonholed into the system and suffer from unnecessary surgeries at an alarming rate. 10 to 15% of surgeries that are being performed today are deemed unnecessary, depending on specialty. And they're suffering from complications from unnecessary surgery and more surgery. And they just can't seem to get connected. And yet they have a provider book of surgeons from which to choose from. But there's no way on the internet to choose their surgeon. Just it's incredible that we're still at the pre-internet stage in this search, if you will.
How intimidating is this decision to go into surgery for people who mostly know very little about medicine and whether their surgery is necessary or not? All things considered, people are working doing their own jobs, whether they're in business, they're a writer, they're radio, they're a fireman. They rely on a doctor for information and they aren't sure maybe 100% whether their surgery is necessary or not. They just don't have the answers.
There certainly is an information gap. There's no question. Patients oftentimes don't understand their own condition. They don't understand what would happen if they didn't have surgery. They don't understand what the success measures are, what the complication measures are, what are the possibilities. They're governed primarily by their emotions. You know, their knee's swollen, they twisted their knee, they can't even get in and out of the car. They can't get their clothes on. It's becoming difficult, and they rely on their emotional decision making, and they essentially rely on what the primary care physician said to them about going to the surgeon who apparently has good results. But there's no objective data, nothing where they can use their logical train of thought to really come up with the answer whether they really should have surgery and who they should have surgery from. And information is really lacking in the public domain.
Dr. Sanjay Prasad is with me on Book Spectrum. We're talking about his new book, Resetting Healthcare Post-COVID-19 Pandemic. We talked about the unnecessary surgeries just a bit. I want to get more into that a little bit later on. But another reason you wrote the book is after the COVID-19 pandemic, it kind of put a monkey wrench in the healthcare industry in both good and bad ways. On the one hand, it's good that unnecessary and elective surgeries were placed on the back burner, and Zoom appointments replaced unnecessary long treks for some. There are some financial losses on the other hand, and fear may have caused people to eschew necessary surgeries. What has been happening really in the medical industry since COVID-19 struck, and what are some positives you've seen post-recovery?
Well, if we can go back to 2020, it was a horrible time for most families throughout the planet. Scheduled surgeries were put on hold, and we're not talking about urgent surgeries where you have bleeding and it needs to be addressed immediately. We're talking about 92% of all surgeries that are being performed, which we call non-urgent. And they were put on hold simply because we didn't want to get patients infected with the COVID virus in the hospital setting. We didn't want to expose them. And the patients also were quite fearful of entering a doctor's office, getting exposure, entering a surgery center or a hospital, not knowing who's immune from this COVID vaccine, COVID virus, if you will. So there's a lot of fear. And patients were hesitant about having surgery, which was partly a good thing. And telemedicine, as you mentioned, took off. Zoom calls, virtual visits replaced office visits, and certainly that's going to be here and stay for a long time. It's going to be a good thing going forward.
The good thing about that is people who are in rural areas will be able to see better doctors in cities, or at least talk with them over Zoom instead of maybe that 3-4 hour haul that some of them have to make.
No question. Telemedicine has been a major advance and a major plus that came out of the pandemic. And there were a few pluses, and this was one of the major ones.
In Resetting Healthcare, you mentioned the surgery referral process is flawed. How so?
Well, patients today, Chris, are referred from their primary care doctor to their surgeon, to a surgeon, without much concern for the cost of the care, without much concern of quality. What is the outcomes? What is the surgeon's outcomes? How does it relate to the patient's condition? Is that surgeon the right surgeon to be operating on that patient? And patients are just pigeonholed. They're relying on their emotional experiences, and yeah, they just don't use their rational thought process. And what's happening is they make an emotional decision to go ahead and have the surgery, have it fixed right away, without questioning whether they really need that surgery, what are the success measures, what are the complication measures, is there a better surgeon to do the operation, and what are the outcomes, and what's the impact on their family, and what's the impact on their workplace as well.
And this leads me to what you describe in the book. It's something you came up with called surgery quality. I'm not usually a product-pushing guy, but this is something different and pertinent to both your book and our listeners' health knowledge bank. What made you form this, and what's your vision for surgery quality?
Well, surgery quality was a way of connecting patients who've been told they need surgery to surgeons who are best in class, have the best outcomes for the condition that the patient has, and connects them also to surgeons and facilities that have lower pricing, higher quality scores. So it's all about getting our mission was basically to help patients connect with best-in-class surgeons who operate in a cost-efficient environment.
Well, that's a great idea. How does it work?
Well, typically a patient has been referred from a primary care physician to a surgeon. They've been told they need surgery. They typically have some lab tests done. They usually have some imaging that shows the condition. And the surgeon then, their office staff, for example, will attempt to get pre-authorization from the insurance company. In that pre-authorization process, our concierge, which are part of our team, handhold the patients from this moment until they're back to work. Our concierge helps the patient gather their medical records and their imaging. We upload them to the HIPAA-compliant cloud, and then we distribute them to multiple surgeons in their area that have shown an area of interest in that condition. And these are surgeons that are pre-qualified, board certified, and have shown good success measures in their past. These surgeons review the imaging, review the laboratory records, what have you, validate necessity for surgery, and also enter their past outcomes, that is, how many they've done last year, what are their success measures, what are their complication measures. And we do the quality scoring across surgeons. We help the patients make the decision of which surgeon to go to based on outcomes. It just makes a ton of sense to us.
How do you think surgical quality is going to be disrupting the surgery referral process? And in a good way. Disrupting sometimes sounds bad, but in the business world, it's good.
Well, I think we can, I think surgical quality will be able to definitely augment, definitely help that whole referral process. So there's no reason why the primary care physicians can't be involved as well and look at quality scoring of the surgeons and make the right recommendation. So we are, we're improving the referral process more than disrupting it. Maybe that's a better term.
I like that. But disruption, improving, it's sometimes the same thing. Dr. Sanjay Prasad is with me, and his book is Resetting Healthcare, Post-COVID-19 Pandemic. I'm Chris Cordani, your host. This is Book Spectrum. I want to get back to the case you bring up, and this is one of the major things you discuss in the book and why you put together surgical quality, is that people sometimes are kind of pushed into taking these unnecessary surgeries, whether it be guilt, whether it be fear, whether it be thinking one has no other choice, or whether it be just putting ultimate trust or maybe even just too lazy to look for a second opinion. I hate to put it that way in those words, but sometimes you just are so tired or you've been bouncing around doctors for so long, you finally get one that says you need surgery, you don't want to get you're just tired of getting that next opinion. There are things people should look out for. So from your perspective as a longtime doctor, what are some red flags a patient can look for or a loved one can look for in case one is presented with a suggestion to go forth with what might be an unnecessary procedure?
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily, Chris, about red flags, but I think any time a patient is told they need surgery, they need to pause. They need to rethink, you know, whether they really need to have the surgery. They need to step up and ask some tough questions of their surgeon. They need to ask their surgeon what would happen to them if they didn't have surgery. They need to ask them, well, how many cases have you done last year? They need to ask them about success measures and complication measures. And they need to pause and rethink whether they should undergo the procedure. They should research as much as they can about the condition, as much as they're able to find on Google or on other websites. They need more information. And they need to pause and rethink and start to have some more logical train of thought in terms of whether they should have surgery and whether they've been referred to the right surgeon.
And what about people who feel pressured, almost like, hey, we're afraid not to have the surgery? Again, in the back of one's head, you think it might be unnecessary. A lot of this is presented on television sometimes, on medical dramas, and I believe people who are listening to this program may have seen something like that and are afraid it might happen to them.
Yeah, I would like to think that surgeons don't pressure patients, but patients may feel some internal pressure. They have a twisted knee, they have a hip that's sore, they can't move, they need to get back to work. It's creating great family distress as well and dependency issues. There's lots of internal pressure, but I would hope that surgeons don't, in general, pressure patients to have surgery. I don't think that's happening, especially it's not happening with my colleagues that I know for sure.
No, but the latter few, the family pressures, the pressure to get back to work and other internal pressures are significant. What role, having said that, do you see something like surgical quality have in the continued advancement of medical science and the healthcare industry overall?
Well, now with surgical quality, a personalized concierge can deliver multiple opinions on your case. You could relax back in your sofa, and in one day, you can get multiple opinions from multiple surgeons, find alternatives to surgery, find the best surgeon for the condition if you really need surgery. These are all the wonders of the information age. And there's no reason why it can't be done today.
And that's another thing. You mentioned this, and it's in your book, Alternatives to Surgery. People don't realize, or a lot of people may not realize, there are non-surgical ways to cure certain things. Now, I'm not saying you put some herbs on your broken leg. I'm not saying that. I am saying that there are options out there, and your book can point people towards that. Surgical quality can do that as well. And this is something that maybe people have been missing. Resources to do their own research.
Absolutely, Chris. Alternatives to surgery are extremely important. And sometimes patients have a torn meniscus, a cartilage in their knee, and they want to have surgery right away to have it fixed. But when in fact they probably should wait, get some physical therapy, do some biking and rehab that knee, and maybe avoid arthroscopy surgery, and maybe, avoid a knee replacement in the future. So that's the whole idea.
And Dr. Sanjay Prasad is with me on Book Spectrum. His new book, Resetting Healthcare Post-COVID-19 Pandemic, does bring up a lot of very interesting points about the industry and how to improve it. And he even has a system called Surgical Quality that will help people do their own research on whether they need surgery or not, or maybe find some other alternatives, or at least discuss their matters with other surgeons. This might be something that the ancient times could have used, Dr. Prasad. Think about it. I'm a history guy. I'm not a medical guy. I'm a history guy. I read books. You see these pictures of the old medicine or medicine men or shaman or people who would handle the sick, I'd say centuries, millennia ago. You see the holes drilled in skulls because of the evil spirits or trying to get the evil spirits out of them. You think that maybe some of those guys could have used a second opinion one time or another, right?
Absolutely. Great way to think of it, Chris.
I mean, you get these skulls with two holes drilled in them and people using leeches. I'm thinking maybe a second opinion would have been nice back then, or a system like yours would have been great.
Absolutely. Although leeches, we still use leeches today. It's amazing.
Dr. Prasad, what is the one thing that you want most people to take away from your book?
I want them to stop and think when they're told they need a surgical procedure. And I want them to pause. And I want them to ask questions. And I want them to ask questions of their surgeons. And if they don't feel like they have the resources, I want them to contact us because we will definitely help them. And they can reach us at info@surgiquality.com. We're happy to help any patient help through this difficult problem.
Dr. Sanjay Prasad, thank you very much for being with us here on Book Spectrum.
Thank you, Chris. It was a pleasure to be with you.
Once again, the book is Resetting Healthcare Post-COVID-19 Pandemic. A lot of information in there. And if you or one of your loved ones, or maybe a few of your loved ones, might be faced with surgery, this would be a very valuable book. And look into Surgical Quality as a resource to see whether the surgery is necessary or maybe to find a second or third opinion either way. I'm Chris Cordani. Thank you very much for listening to Book Spectrum.